Burns, the Director of Marketing and Communications at Atento Capital, and this is the Be Atento podcast. You are watching the Founder Forum, and I am with the co-founder of Bottle Learning, Edna Martinson. Thank you so much for joining us today, Edna.
Thank you for having me.
Great. So for starters, let's just start by you telling us a little bit about Bottle Learning. What is that platform, and what role do you play in the company?
Yeah, so I am the co-founder of Bottle, and what Bottle is a gamified platform for education. So we're building super fun and interactive 3D games and embedding learning content into them. So currently math and English practice and assessment items, and it's used in the classroom as a supplementary tool or at home just to provide kids with that fun and engaging way to learn and practice their math and English skills.
And who's your ideal audience for Bottle Learning?
So it's kindergarten through sixth grade kids.
Great.
Those are the age ranges that we serve, and then K through six teachers as well, of course.
So fast forward to today, what is your goal for the future of Bottle? Any new enhancements that you want to make for the platform or learnings that you've taken over the last few years that are going to go into the evolution of where Bottle is going?
Yeah. So what I'm super excited about is we've been a math and English platform to date, but what we want Bottle to be and what we're building towards is a platform where any type of content can be delivered through these fun and interactive games. So building out what we're calling a community library where teachers can go in and put science content or just question, like geography question sets, and then deliver it to kids through the Bottle games. And then on the gaming side, really putting an emphasis on building out more interactive multiplayer gaming experiences to where kids can, you know, get together in their friend groups and play and learn together.
This is just a question I have for myself. So we hear the buzzword AI every other day. Mm-hmm. Is Bottle Learning using AI internally as a company or for the platform that students may be able to take advantage of in the future?
Yeah, so definitely internally as a company, it's helped so much improve processes and with marketing and customer support. And then as a product, I mentioned the community library. We are looking at building out, AI features to where teachers can go in and create content using AI, which will make their lives a lot easier as well.
So I know we spoke a little bit about the main customer being or user being K through six, but would you identify the customer as like parents and teachers, or how do you think about those segments?
Kids are ultimately, you know, who we're building for, right? We want to make sure as long as this is something that's fun and engaging for kids, like we're doing a good job here. Teachers are really important in this equation because we're building out all the teacher tools and the teacher portal to make this something that is helpful for them in their classrooms. And a big part of being helpful is creating a platform that helps teachers identify like where kids are at in their learning. So, you know, let's say a class of 20 kids get started on Bottle. They'll go through, we use machine learning to identify like, okay, in this group of 20 second graders, like these kids are, you know, struggling with these specific first grade skills or these specific kindergarten skills, and giving that data to teachers so they can be better informed in their teaching as well. And then parents play such a big role in it because they can really enforce that like at home learning as well as get kids on the premium features. So how we make money and what was really important for us was to build, you know, an equitable platform that had a free version where any child, regardless of, you know, demographic, is able to get on there and, you know, use that free version and get that math and English content. But then we have premium features, monetizing similar to a gaming company, to where for additional, you know, fun in-game rewards, parents could get kids on premium.
So I'm familiar with a brand partnership that you had with Toyota, for example, where you're able to show up as a founder, as a mother, and fuse that with the work that you're doing. Can you speak a little bit to your experience navigating brand partnerships and how it's contributed to your business?
So I was put on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list, which opened up doors to be able to, you know, connect with some of the other Forbes folks, and they were partnering with Toyota, and they said, hey, we have this founder. We love her story. We think it would be great to feature her. And in that feature, it was awesome to be like, oh, I would love to, you know, not just feature me, but like the work that we're doing with Bottle, and then infuse some of my personal life in there as well, bring my son into it. So that was really fun. And that really came from that relationship with Forbes. The other collaboration is with AT&T, and really excited about that. AT&T, the very first accelerator that we did was an AT&T Aspire accelerator back in 2019. And then fast forward several years later, 2022, we did this collaboration with AT&T to where we released the first pet battle collecting multiplayer game with them, which did tremendous. Like, it shot up our like usage rates, and it was such an awesome collaboration. And that really came from the relationships that we built in 2019. So it's always so interesting that like, there might be a relationship that you're trying to build right now, but you won't see the fruits until like 3-4 years down the line. So that's why, you know, that relationship building piece is so important.
Yeah. And that's advice in and of itself, to not have to jump the gun on those relationships. It's like you're planting the seed and then you'll see it grow in a few years as a potential opportunity. So can you share a little bit more with our audience about your background and what led you and Clarence to starting Bottle Learning?
Yeah. So originally, I'm from Ghana, West Africa, came to the U.S. at 16 for college. And throughout my journey, education has played just such a big part of my life and, you know, opened up so many doors and opportunities. And so I've always been really passionate about that education space. I was fortunate enough to have like really great tutors as I was growing up. And so after finishing grad school is around the time that I met Clarence, and his background is in game design. When we met, we really fell in love with that intersection of gaming and education, and how games can really be used to inspire kids to love learning. We had several teacher friends who, they were teaching elementary classrooms, and they would always share, you know, back in the day before we started Bottle, how frustrating it was to have a classroom with like 20 plus kids in a class all on different learning levels, and how challenging it was to meet each kid's needs. And so we thought, why not use a medium that we know kids love, which is games, and then build the teacher tools to support educators in their work as well. And that was kind of like the genesis or inception of Bottle.
Clarence is your life partner, right? Yes. Tell us a little bit about how you all define your roles within the company.
So he is definitely just the like game design genius. You know, a lot of the product roadmap comes from him. And my background, it's always been in marketing and operations. Got an international business degree, went on to get my MBA. So focus and Bottle is on that marketing and operations side for me.
Okay. And so that probably makes a beautiful partnership so that you can focus on marketing and ops while he helps to develop the product on the technical side. Great. So you managed to transform this idea into reality. Can you talk a little bit about what went into developing this as a business?
A lot of the beginning days had to do with gathering as much feedback as possible from just teacher friends that we had. We literally, at that point, the company was just in PowerPoint slides. And it was like creating these slides of like, this is what a teacher portal could look like, or these are some main features that we would put into the game, and sending it out to friends and having them take a look at it before even building out like the, you know, the wireframes of these features. And along every step of the way, and we learned this because, you know, we're both previously working at a startup that one of the major reasons that it didn't work out was because we weren't getting as much like user feedback as possible. So with Bottle, we're like, we're going to get as much user feedback as we can. And so every step of the way, it was like, okay, teachers like this feature. Now let's go start building. And when we have V1 of it, we'll take it back to teachers and say, what do you think about this? Similar with the games, like always, you know, going to classrooms and saying like, what would you kids think about this game feature, and like, how should we update it or make it better? So that was a lot. And we do that still now today as well with like new features that we want to push out, making sure that our teacher community is on board with it, making sure kids are on board with what they want to see in the game as well. So that played a big part of just us getting it off the ground to begin with.
Can you talk a little bit about how you learned about Tulsa as a place to build a company, and what's made you stay here to build?
Heard about Tulsa thanks to Atento Capital. Chandler, who used to work at Atento, he was out in Kansas City. That's where we were previously, doing a talk at an event, which is so funny because I did not want to go to that event. I was just like, Clarence, can we just stay home and like watch Netflix? Like, I'm not trying to be social. He's like, come on, we got to go. Like, let's, you know, go network. And so we met Chandler at this event. It was a great conversation. Ended up meeting more of the Atento team. And sharing what we were building. And Atento was interested and they mentioned like, hey, we're in Tulsa. Would you consider moving down? And at that point, I was like, wow, I never thought about, you know, moving to Tulsa. But we decided to come visit. And that was awesome. That was pretty transformational because we got to hear the vision of like, this is what Tulsa can be. At that point, there were so many organizations that hadn't launched yet. You know, there wasn't any Act Tulsa, there wasn't Build in Tulsa, but you'd hear about these things and it just gets you so excited of like, wow, there's like, this could be really special. And I think it's been so amazing to see all of these ecosystem builders, you know, spring up and make such incredible impact in the city. And to get to be a part of that has been awesome as well. So once we did make the move, I think after that trip, it was pretty easy to be like, yes, even though all these things haven't come to fruition yet, like we believe in this city. And so we're going to take the chance and move down. And so we moved over August 2020.
So you came pre-Tulsa as it is today, mm-hmm. right? Fast forward, we're in 2024. And many of the things that were talked about in 2020 are now here. And you can speak firsthand to what's causing you now to stay. Can you reflect a little bit on what that evolution has looked like for you and what you're now excited about as it relates to Tulsa and building here?
Yeah, I think I'm still excited about the potential. You know, there's so much that has been done, but there's still like so much that can be done. So still very excited about the potential of Tulsa as a city. I'm excited that the entrepreneurial ecosystem has been growing. Like it's been so great to see all these founders, you know, who are either originally from Tulsa and have been living here or from Tulsa and are coming back home or just moved to Tulsa like myself. Just seeing that ecosystem grow has been pretty special. I think that's one of the things that keeps me here as well. Just having that community of, you know, like-minded people who are going through the same like startup struggles that we're all going through. I think every founder needs that kind of community. And when you get to have that in person, like in a city that's very supportive of entrepreneurship, it's great.
Let's talk business development a little bit. Mm-hmm. And walk a founder who may want to follow in your footsteps through all of the challenges and or opportunities that you faced while trying to grow your business. And if you could speak to any case studies that you have around Atento helping you on a business development perspective, I'd love for you to share that as well.
Any advice that I would give a founder who's looking to start something, I would say, and it sounds cliche, but it's so true. Like one of the most important things is the team that you're building with. At the end of the day, like the company is only going to be as great as the people that are in it. And so you need to find like really strong players. You need to find people who are smarter than yourself. And then also you have to know what stage that you're in, right? Like don't go and bring on somebody or hire somebody who's, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. It's like, if you're not at the stage that you need a CTO, don't go hire a CTO. Maybe you just need like an engineer who's going to be in the weeds with you, right? Not like somebody who's just going to be managing people. And sometimes those are easy mistakes to make. And then the community thing again, like find other founders, founder communities to be a part of, because those are always great places to gather information and, you know, just learn a lot more about like what it takes to build a business. And then for the Atento side, I mean, there's so much, but one thing that always comes to mind is just when we first moved here in 2020, we had our first meeting, like a monthly Atento meeting, like tell your investors how you're doing, how's everything going. And I remember telling Clarence, I'm like, I'm pretty sure we need to prep for this. Like we need like, where are our slides? And he's like, we don't need slides. Like we're just going to go and tell them how we're doing. And I was like, are you sure? He's like, calm down. We don't need slides. And we get there, and Mike and I forgot who else was there, but Atento used to have this like little white house, and that was the office. And so he's sitting outside the little white house, and he's like, "Hey, what's up, guys? How are you doing?" Another portfolio company had just got done with their meeting, and I'm seeing them with laptops. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they had slides, but he's like, "It's fine." And we get to sit down, and we're sitting across each other, and Mike's like, "Okay, so what's the update?" And then Clarence and I just start talking about the update, and he's like, no presentation, like nothing. And that was a moment where I realized like, oh my gosh, there's so much that I still don't know about, like, investor relations, like how I'm supposed to, run these meetings with these investors that have put money into us. And Atento has been so gracious. Like in that moment, Mike could have been like, these people are a joke. Like they really came to this meeting unprepared. But that wasn't the case. Like, he actually took the time to like mentor us and provide, let us know like, hey, this is the expectation for these meetings. Like here are examples of how other founders are doing it. And now we're at the point that like we have a board. And even in that, like Atento is providing support on like, okay, here's how to run board meetings. So just to see it go from these two new founders who were not even prepared for their first just investor meeting to like now we're doing board meetings and, getting the support there has been awesome.
I definitely wanted to demystify for our listeners a little bit of your venture capital journey, right? Atento started as one of your lead investors, mm-hmm. and you've evolved to raising outside capital and had some unconventional ways of raising funds too, that it wasn't traditionally venture, right? So you've gotten grants, you've won awards. Can you talk a little bit about the fundraising and financing journey and what you uncovered on that journey that maybe was a surprise to you, or any advice you'd give to founders that are on that journey as well?
Yeah. I think the thing that everybody knows is just, it's hard. It's very hard. And it's especially hard when you don't have a lot of like pre-existing relationships in this space. And so for us, like Atento was our first like institutional investor. Previous to that, yeah, we did like pitch competitions and, won grants, which has been really, really helpful for us at that stage when we didn't have, I didn't have like a rich uncle that I can just go to like get money in. But I think one of the things that I learned, especially after the Atento investment, was that like, okay, now Atento is like, is here to support us to build Bottle. And so initially, the first time Atento invested, I just had a lot of, and I don't know if it's imposter syndrome or just feeling like, oh my gosh, I just have to like shine the best light on Bottle, right? Everything always has to be perfect. Where the reality is like, actually, no, now I don't have to deal with the problems just by myself. Like I can come and be like, hey, like Atento folks, like you guys invested, like here are some challenges that we're facing. Like, let's see, maybe there are ways that you can support us in that. And once my mindset shifted, it helped a lot. And Atento has been incredible about connecting us with other VCs as well. And so that's for other founders too. If you have managed to get, one investor on board, really leverage them to be like, hey, let me tap into their network and see who else, might be interested in joining the journey.
Now I'm going to ask you to dig into what I lovingly coined your humble brag bag and pull out some of the accolades that you've won that our founders can maybe look up and see, okay, maybe there's a grant that they didn't know about that you've won, or a resource that you've taken advantage of that could help a founder with funding. Are there any that you'd like to share to our listeners?
Yes. So Google for Startups has a Black Founders Fund. They also have a Latino Founders Fund. And I don't know if they have any others, but the Black Founders Fund, we got funding from, which has been amazing. Like the Google team's been awesome and super supportive. We got funding from Pharrell Williams Black Ambition, which has been a great community as well. For EdTech founders, Vela Education Fund has been super great support as well. We got a grant from them, and they give grants to like non-traditional educational organizations. And so the fact that, Bottle's not just something that's used in the classroom, it's like we want kids to be able to learn everywhere is what really aligned us with Vela. And then most recently, and this is not funding, but it just helps really with like networking, and we're top 50 for GSV, for the GSV Cup, which is an EdTech focused competition, if you will. So excited about that. And that's going to kind of open doors to more folks in the EdTech space, investors and ecosystem builders. So excited about that.
And those funds and grants that you mentioned, those are non-dilutive forms of capital, right? So those companies that gave that funding didn't take any equity as an exchange for the funds? Or
Google's non-dilutive. Vela is non-dilutive as well as a grant. The Pharrell Williams Black Ambition, it was like 50-50. Okay. So 50% non-dilutive and then 50%. Equity,
which is still an incredible opportunity. And so I'm really excited that you dropped some of those gems, because people are always asking, where can you find alternative sources for funding? Reflecting on your journey, we'd love to close with an understanding of what's been the most rewarding part of this experience for you. Any reflections that you have that you'd want to leave our listeners with?
Yes, I would say there's two things that come to mind. Number one is just, we did these, we call them virtual career days last year, to where Clarence and I asked teachers like, hey, if you want us to come to your classroom just to talk about, you know, how to build a game and how we built Bottle and, you know, the different things that go into it between like art and 3D designs and the marketing pieces of it. So we did that, and we got several classrooms all across the country that had signed up. And I think that experience was awesome. Just seeing the kids' faces light up and they're like, oh my gosh, it's Bottle. Like just freaking out. I think to me that was super, super touching. And seeing how excited they were to tell us like what their scores were in Bottle and like how much they love math now was super rewarding. So that's the first thing. And then the second, I think just building a team is awesome, and seeing like how everyone on the team has grown like over the years has been really great, myself included. And it just goes back to the, you know, we're serving students, but like also we're all students, you know, we're all always like learning new things and figuring certain things out as we go. And so just to see that growth in the team has been really rewarding as well.
Well, Anna, thank you so much for joining us on the Be Atento podcast. Your story is so inspiring. I'm motivated by you and the impact that you and your company are leaving on not only Tulsa, but the nation, the world. You're building something that's really important. So thank you for sharing a little bit more about your journey and for leaving us with some advice that can continue to motivate us going forward.
Thank you so much. This is so great.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's episode of the Be Atento podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Instagram at atento.capital.